You did.
Not.
You did.
No, I
you
did
said
not.
You'd be here at 9 a.m. in my time. I was here at 9 a.m. I've been here for an hour.
It sounds like somebody screwed up the time zones.
Yeah, and it was not me.
Storm told us to be here at this at an hour ago.
I said to be here at 11 Chicago time. You're the one that decided that was 4 hours early. Yesterday, I said, no, that's 3 hours early.
But anyways, back to my point, I've been in here for almost an hour now playing sad songs into the microphone. So that when Storm joined, it would be sad songs, and apparently it didn't even work.
It did work, because I popped on earlier. I was going to say hi, but it was like, oh, there's just sad music playing. Okay, that must just be Core testing something. I will leave now.
I didn't even notice you pop on. I'm sorry.
That was just Core getting ready for his. That was just Core getting ready for the show in his own special way.
My overly dramatic way, yes.
All by myself.
No, I was playing Lonely, and I was playing the hip-hop version by Akon.
No, it's all around me are familiar faces.
Yes.
Worn-out places. Storm screwing up the time zones.
Yeah, that's right.
He never takes me into consideration. It's like he just assumes I'm in his time zone or something.
Hey, I put Chicago time. It's up to you to do the labor from that point to figure out what
do
time
the labor. How does my mic sound, by the way?
You sound good.
Okay.
You sound very good. You sound beaky.
I mean, I always sound good, but how's the mic sound?
Well, you sound good for a Canadian.
Oh. See, this is my show this time. So... y'all can just take your Trump attitude and go back to that place. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Well, it wasn't even until like less than a month ago that I even realized you were Canadian, because you don't really have many accentual tells, you know?
Now, well, he is Nova Scotian. That's really funny, because a lot of my other friends pointed out at every time I talk, basically.
That's probably because you fessed up to them very early on that you're Canadian, so then they look for the isms. But, you know, meeting you previously, couldn't tell. Didn't know until, you told me. And now that, I know a little bit, yeah, I can kind of detect, a hint of things here or there, but not really. Well,
have some material that I want to go over.
Oh, no.
There is a lot of terms and sayings that we use in the Maritimes that I didn't realize we actually said all these things until I found a summary of it online. I was like, holy shit, we do say that shit.
Yeah, no, the Canadians have a lot of isms.
We really do. And it depends on region too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yours,
you Nova Scotians.
Yours are not that obvious though.
It is when I say certain words.
Fair enough.
I don't know how you can't tell. I mean, just talking to you now, Krios, I can tell that you are a Canuck. I'm sorry. It's just the accent rolls off the beak.
Like if I say it's right humid outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, not really. Not at least not for me.
The word that I said was right. Or right.
Oh, okay.
I didn't notice I said that. I didn't notice I said that until the first BLFC I went to.
Welcome to this episode of Bird.Life, where we discuss how to detect a Canadian undercover.
For those super important times when you think you might have a Canadian in your life, but you're just not sure.
You gotta watch out for those Canadian spies, eh?
Yes, yes. Are we recording, Core?
Of course.
Good.
Force.
Course. So I have to ask the most important question, bro. By the way, folks, for those that don't know, this is my feather bro. He's been my beaky feather bro since the day he was hatched, and I'm forever stuck with him, whether I like him or not.
So, yeah.
We all have one of those in our lives.
Yeah.
So at least I'm not some sort of middle child. Sideburn middle child.
Yes.
I feel like I'm missing out on a very critical inside joke here.
It's okay.
It's okay, Cole.
It's okay. We'll just that one specific person who listens to this podcast will get it and they'll be like, they're talking about me.
Yeah. Oh.
And the rest of us are just going to be like, huh, that was weird. Moving on.
So, Krios, I have to ask, starting off from the top, do you like maple syrup?
Who doesn't like maple syrup up here? I mean, come on. Now, you have to have the proper maple syrup.
Oh.
Like the actual proper maple syrup. Not that crap that you get from Aunt Jemima. Okay?
Hey, you know what? Aunt Jemima raised me, and she raised
me
right.
It has to be 100% maple leaf Canadian maple syrup.
Well, I mean, you all do have a maple syrup reserve. You know, Americans have an oil reserve. Canadians have a maple syrup reserve.
What do you think actually holds our provinces together? I'll give you a hint. It's not landmass. It's maple syrup.
I thought it was poutine.
No, that's just in the east.
I was recently introduced to poutine. I'm impressed, by the way. I like it.
Did you have proper poutine?
It was bootleg poutine for sure, but it was still poutine.
It's passable for the taste, but you still need to actually have
the
proper
full Canadian experience.
The full Canadian experience.
So does that mean when you're eating your poutine, you're in the middle of a hockey rink with angry hockey players going around you beating each other up?
Sometimes. Exactly. Not all the time, though. I actually used to work at a hockey rink.
So tell us, what is proper Canadian poutine?
Proper Canadian poutine is thick-cut fries, actual cheese curds, like the chunks, not like just regular cheese tossed on. That's not poutine. That's crap.
I love cheese curds.
And proper, thick, and hot-as-hell gravy.
What kind of gravy? Specify.
It's usually a beef gravy.
Okay.
Something with a very, like, deep, rich taste to it.
So my poutine experience was 99% authentic in that case, just not out of Canada.
But see, we have variants to the poutine.
That's true.
Like, my favorite is the pulled pork poutine.
That just sounds good.
Which is basically just poutine with a whole pile of pulled pork tossed on top of it.
You know what? I can actually see that tasting good. I really can.
Well, yeah.
But
it's not going to taste bad.
The core variant of poutine turned into thick-cut fries with slathered with cheese and then country gravy put on top because that was delicious.
That's passable.
Yeah, like I said, that's the core poutine. Like, that wasn't what I had, you know, the first time I was introduced to poutine. But that's what it's become for me.
See, you're saying core poutine, and I'm reading C-O-R-E. It's like the core poutine.
It is the core poutine.
The core poutine.
Well, see, the thing is, guys, you know, when people think of Canada, they think of, you know, maple syrup, they think of poutine, hockey, etc.
And but a national security threat.
Precisely. But what I found, and I only found this because I went to visit my bird bro a few years ago in his native homeland, what I think is the most Canadian of Canadian things, bar none, is the donair.
Well, yeah.
The donair, absolutely orgasmically great.
The funny thing about the donair is it's not in all of Canada.
Oh, no.
Like, that's not a Canada-wide thing. That is, like, a 90% maritime Canadian thing. Like past New Brunswick, you basically don't see them until you hit Victoria, BC.
Huh?
Because I think they have some out there.
Why don't you tell the audience what a donair is from your experience, Krios?
It's actually hard to describe, but it's similar to gyros or gyros or whatever the hell you have down there. You take a pita, you put specialized shaved spiced meat on it, usually topped with onions or tomatoes, cheese is a must.
Cheese is always a must.
Yeah, I mean, you can get it without cheese, but those people don't exist.
I don't care what, like, you're eating. Cheese is a must.
But then there is the donair sauce, which is basically just condensed milk, vinegar, and sugar. Because I used to make the stuff.
Brown sugar or, like, cane sugar?
Like, regular sugar. Like, actual granulized processed sugar.
Fascinating. Continue.
I know. That's the stuff that you guys don't get down there.
Or we get it from Hawaii.
Yeah.
Actually, no, we don't get sugar from Hawaii anymore. We stopped the cane sugar plantations like 4 years ago.
See, this isn't even cane sugar. This is actual sugar.
Huh.
Again, like most of our stuff up here has real sugar in it. Like, our pop has sugar in it.
I don't see how that makes cane sugar fake. It's made from the sugar cane.
But see, we have a soda up here. I'll say soda so you guys feel at home.
We call it pop by me.
Yeah, see,
we call it soda here.
You call it, Storm calls it what it's supposed to be called.
Ooh, see, I like you more. Keep talking. Yeah.
This we is have the episode pop. Where I just kind of check out mentally. Continue.
We have a pop up here called Jones Soda.
We have Jones Soda here too.
And that is specifically made with cane sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But our pop, like our Coke and Pepsi...
You send them pictures and they stick them on the label.
Yeah, exactly. Our regular pop, like Coke and Pepsi and ginger ale and all that, that's all made with actual sugar. Like not cane sugar and not that...
Okay, I'm really confused at this point because, okay, so setting aside corn syrup, because that's a whole new element that we don't have to add into this equation, what is your definition of real sugar? Because, again, sugar coming directly from the sugar cane plant is sugar. So why do you keep classifying it as something else?
I'm just saying we have two different kinds of pop with two different distinctions of sugar. So obviously there's a difference.
Okay, bro.
Can we pay for him to go to a simple biology course?
No.
Chemistry?
Unless like the sugar is extracted somehow from the maple syrup up there in Canada, I don't know what this other syrup could
be. I don't know.
They distill the maple leaf.
I'm just saying what I see up here.
Right then.
So, bro, why don't you tell
us... So, that's been Bird Life. See you guys later.
Thanks for joining us.
So why don't you... well, Court, it might actually be a good time to do the intro.
Fair enough.
Fleeks at?
Fleeks has been having a bit of a headache, so I think he might have popped off. He may not be joining us today.
Aw.
Yeah, he has a bad habit of overworking himself and then saying, no, it's fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, it's totally fine. And then, fine. Like, he'll have a crash day.
Yep.
So yeah,
he is busy all the time.
Good lord, he is.
Me too.
Woodpecker brain.
He's got a woodpecker in his brain.
Yeah, that too. This is episode 74 of Bird Life. I'm Cor.
I am Krios, the legendary Canadian Griffey.
Oh my god, he's been doing this. He has an identity crisis going on. Just humor him, Krios.
I'm Storm Griffin. I'm the Griffin from Chicago who knows everything.
Thank you.
Our eagle heart speaks pointed up. With pride we cry. Horizon ahead, wings spread out. We claim the sky. Badania, Badania, all glory to Badania. Badania, Badania, forever free. Badania, 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 all glory to Badania. Badania, 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 forever free Badania. Always be beeping.
Woohoo!
So professional. We're so good at this.
Bird professionals?
Yes, bird professionals.
We are like, feather brained. Absolutely.
Oh my God. What episode was this?
74.
You're supposed to know everything.
It's like episode 74. This is like 74 episodes of one constant train wreck. It's been a great.
It's like a train wreck in slow motion. It's terrible, but you really can't look away because it looks awesome.
That and at least half our listeners are only listening because they made the mistake of subscribing on the podcast app and then we corrupted it. Now you can never unsubscribe again and you have to listen to us.
You're stuck with us.
Forever alone.
Forever. The virus.
So, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am Canadian, obviously.
We've established.
Yes. I am a hippogriff.
Woohoo!
Hooray!
Something that Eclipse still somewhat says that I don't exist. Funny story, that's how we met. Because I gave him the shady eyes when he started explaining how hippogriffs don't exist. Yes, I live up in lovely, sunny, humid, and sometimes cold Nova Scotia, Canada.
Do you speak any French?
I used to. I actually took my junior high years in school were in French immersion.
And then you just unimmersed.
Yes.
Okay. Also known as the Quebec Mandatory Immersion Training Class.
Weirdly enough, I took 1 year of French in middle school and 2 years of Spanish in high school, and the French stuck better than the Spanish.
See, we have no Spanish up here. Yo, like, zero. Yeah. Like, you want to learn Spanish, it's a specialized course.
I love the thought that, like, a taco truck would be exotic foods to you.
No! No, we have those.
We might have one.
They're imported Americans that just kept going further north.
We might have one that just forgot to stop at the border and ended up here.
It's like they roll across the border. Hey, suddenly Mounties. Hey, what the hell? They want tacos too. We're good.
No, downtown Halifax, there's a street called Spring Garden Road, which some people call Skin Garden Road because all the girls like to walk around there wearing basically nothing.
Nah.
But that is the main street that connects South Park Road to Barrington Street, and all along that street is where all the food trucks are because it's right in the middle of one of Dalhousie's campuses. So they make a killing there, and I'm pretty sure there is a taco truck down there.
It's good to know the tacos are, in fact, the great equalizer.
Hey! Oh my goodness! Peck is here!
He even missed the intro, so he doesn't technically exist today.
Well, it's 18 flat, and I don't need pre-recording because I can come in and I'm just there. And
it is not 18 flat. It's 2 past.
But wait a second, Peck. I thought the Germans were legendary for their punctuality.
No, well, they're legendary for the efficiency.
Maybe my clock is like 2 minutes off. Who knows? Or maybe it's some dimensional time.
Or it's like cores, and it's an hour early.
Audience, for those listening, before every time we start the show, I put in our private message server, 1 hour to warm up, 15 minutes to warm
Not
up, 10
every
minutes
time.
To warm up, and then we're late.
He did this. Okay, no, he can't say every time because this is like the first time he did it.
Bullshit.
anyways, did you
Griffin
know?
Facts is the new alternative facts.
I
want to blow your mind because I read it and I was like, oh. And I actually learned that the Monopoly Man Yeah. The rich Uncle Pennybags. Yeah,
Uncle Pennybags.
Right. He does not wear a monocle. A monocle. He doesn't wear a monocle.
Okay.
Yeah.
You come into the chat, and the first thing you tell us about the Monopoly man.
Yeah,
that sounds like something I do. You pop in and go, "Hey, guess what? I learned this obscure thing, and now you shall all know it."
He's trying to distract us from the fact that this is the first time he's actually been late. Which, by the way, you're still getting written up for, and this is going in your permanent record.
Permanent record. Permanent Burdania record.
Yes.
Seriously, if you imagine this guy before I said you that, you always imagine automatically in monocle, and you can't tell me otherwise.
I can't argue with that, actually.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I've always seen. Why did this come up?
But hey, I got a.
It's a distraction. It's a distraction. Fleeks is doing something else.
I do, however, have a follow up. Fun fact for you, very related to this. So you guys know the Mr. Peanut guy?
Yes.
He's actually a peanut.
I don't know the Mr. Peanut.
And he wears a monocle.
I think I need to go sit down somewhere.
Sorry.
I thought you were about to tell me
in my igloo
have a peanut, and I was about to fall out of my goddamn chair.
Oh, is that what that example was?
How do they make more peanuts? I'm so confused.
They're his children.
We're not going to go into that detail. Nope, we're just going to scoot right on by where this topic could potentially go, and we're just going to go moving on and say, hey, Krios, aside from being Canadian, what are your hobbies?
My hobbies mostly consist of gaming in every form.
I've seen your Brutal Doom playthroughs.
Yes, intense. which I have to continue again. I got back from BLFC, and I was like, I don't want to edit all that stuff. But I do need to get back to it. I do enjoy them. Mm-hmm. But when I say every format, like I'll do video games, I'll do trading card games, I'll do board games. But my absolute favorite hobby has to be D&D.
That seems to be a common consensus.
Dungeons and Dragons.
When I I remember that.
Yes, because I brought you over for Robotech.
Yeah, that was fun.
I don't just enjoy D&D. I play several different systems, from Pathfinder to D&D 4th and 5th Ed. I've done plenty of 3.5. Rift's Palladium is one that I enjoy because it's very complex. It's a very old system. I'd say it's at least from the 90s. Fun fact, the Robotech game that I just mentioned that I brought Storm to when he visited, that game has been going on for real time 20 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so there's a lot of crazy stuff going on.
And what happens when you have, like, you know, players you have to rotate out because they now have, like, had a heart attack or a stroke and they just can't keep up anymore?
They have ended up as NPCs.
So they just revisit, but in the storyline instead.
Yes, this game is so... it's my DM's baby, basically. I had to apply to get into this game. That's how sacred this game is to him.
Oh-ho.
Understandable.
I play a Russian... basically Russian T-Rex Tony Stark. In this game.
A rush? What the fuck?
My brain just broke a little bit. I need to see this.
The voice. Yes. Yes, comrade. See, the funny thing is he started off as a human, just a regular dude. Right? And my original concept for the character was that he was going to be the be-all and end-all pilot. He could pilot anything. If it's a starship or a bicycle, he could pilot it. He could drive it. He could make it move.
Oh my god.
And or a starship. Bicycle.
Oh my god. Mind blown. But it ended up
that you're doing the Russian accent because Tweet played in our Beast of Burden D&D round 5e round. He plays an Eric Cochra with a Russian accent.
With the Russian accent, yes. Yeah. That is pretty good.
And, yeah, he punches kobolds the whole time.
Oh, poor kobolds.
The funny thing is, my character started off as a pilot. He never got to pilot a damn thing. Right off the bat, the very first session that I was playing him, I ended up doing a bunch of engineering roles, and the only reason I had those skills was because I needed to fill skill slots. So I took all the engineering skills, like, ah, screw it, I might be able to use this, and now that has been the absolute focus of this character. He has made his own technology to keep up with the other players.
Once upon a time, ooh, I was a pilot, but then I became everything.
But now I am T-Rex Tony Stark.
Huh. Is he generous and a philanthropist as well?
Yeah, he's filthy rich. Everybody's so, filthy rich.
Krios, how long have you been playing this game yourself?
I've been playing in this game, oh god, at least 8 years.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have developed my own technology in real time for this game. That's how in-depth this game is.
Go on. Describe to us what you mean.
It took about a year and a half real time to develop a specialized suit, which is basically the form after all.
Fair enough. All right, so I cut off right when you started discussing technologies that you were developing for your D&D game.
The Robotech game.
Yes.
It's so in-depth, that game, because it's been going on for 20 years, that I had to develop technology in real time. Like, I had every session I had to make some skill checks, some rolls. I had to explain what components for where and what I was developing and what my theory was for how to get certain things to work.
Good lord.
That's kind of how in-depth this game is. It's crazy. Most recently, my character built one of the higher complexity AIs from scratch. Which is crazy in that world.
I don't doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a question. What, since you do all different types of gaming and different types of role-playing systems, what is your favorite to use?
Favorite to use? That's a good question. For complexity, it would have to be Rift's Palladium. But for sheer fun and enjoyment, I'm going to go with GURPS.
You know, I hear a lot about GURPS, actually.
Does allow a lot.
I found GURPS just really fun.
But also very intense. D&D is the gateway drug.
Like, we got into we played a game where we were a mercenary company, and we were escorting this some dude to make a shady pickup. And of course, things went sour. And the very first combat that happened, this is how brutal it is, the combat in that game. I was using, I think it's the, whatever the RoboCop gun is, the Beretta R93 or something like that. The one that does the burst fire.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I rolled my dice. I got a critical success and I blew a dude's head off the very first shot.
Well done.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
Is it the system where if you roll 3-6, there's something übernatural happens?
That system is the lower you roll, the better.
Oh, okay.
So if you roll 3-6s...
That's like Toon, then.
Yeah, that's if you roll 18, that's a critical failure.
Oh no.
Which means bad things.
And if you roll 3 1s, that is an...
If you roll 3 1s, you basically dominate whatever the hell you're doing. I played a very sarcastic circle in that game.
A sarcastic circle.
Circle, yes.
I have yet to meet a Sergal that's not sarcastic. Anyways, continue.
Okay, excessively sarcastic.
Okay. Okay, so when you're not, out of curiosity, when you're not gaming and kicking everything's ass in the most birdie way possible, what else do you do to in your spare time?
Sleep. basically work. I work full time, and Siri wants me to ask her questions. I do work out. I started working out a couple months ago. Nothing serious or crazy, but you know, a couple days a week to do stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit more about your workout routine and how you got into it?
I actually picked up my gym membership, out of a bit of tragedy, actually. In March, my aunt, was hospitalized because she was having trouble breathing. And she ended up passing away from undiagnosed sleep apnea, but complications from that. But the big thing is she never took care of herself. So that kind of kicked me into high gear and said, you know what? You should probably do something about that. So I grabbed a gym membership finally. I locked myself in for a year. So now I've been, thankfully, the gym that's right beside me, it's a 24-hour gym. So I go after work because I work until midnight. So I go after work. I hammer out an hour usually of, you know, cardio or some free weights or something. Just nothing crazy, but like just going out and doing something.
It sounds very similar to what I do.
I do some workout too, between my whole art thing because I'm sitting a lot and I think I should do some workouts, but I wouldn't be able to afford a gym membership, so I would need probably some space in my house to do that.
Or just go for a walk. Like, a brisk walk will do you wonders.
Yeah, that's right. I know that's what I'm doing groceries for.
Like, back in February, I actually hit 250 pounds. And that was it for me. I was like, this is too much. It's not good. So I made some slight changes, mostly to the portions of food I've been eating. I haven't changed the stuff I've been eating, but I have changed the portions. And I started doing like one walk a week. And I lost 16 pounds from that.
Oh, nice.
Because when I first started going to the gym, I weighed myself just to get a baseline, and I was down to 234. Now I'm down to 229. So it's slowly going away, and I'm not pushing myself all that hard.
Well, so you said you made some changes to your diet in addition, and portion control was one of them. What other things have you done, from drinks to food you eat, etc.? You know, walk us through it.
Well, I don't drink pop anymore. I basically got rid of all of that. I wasn't drinking a whole lot of pop to begin with, but yeah, I just got rid of it. I might have the odd ginger ale. By the way, Canada Dry ginger ale, best kind. I also recently got rid of 95% of drinking alcohol. Got rid of all that.
Hey, I did the same thing. I don't drink sugary stuff anymore, or rarely. If I really feel like I deserve it, I drink like a tiny bottle of soda. But generally, I avoid anything that has added sugar.
Yeah, I've been hooked on these cans of Peace Tea lately. There's these big, I think they're 1 liter. No, 695 milliliters. Of tea. Sure. It doesn't have a lot of sugar in them, but they're delicious. Also, they're only a loonie a can, so.
Yeah, that was something I enjoyed in America, that they have had unsweetened iced tea everywhere.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, see, I won't drink unsweetened iced tea. I have to have sweet. But what I have done is I've limited my pop intake two when I'm going to have one, two, one a day. And when I do have it, it's never with food. It's like a treat by itself. I slowly sip it and that's it. The rest of the time, I mainly just drink water, 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 lots of water, to the point that I actually have come to really enjoy the taste of water. And if I want flavor in my water, that, you know, you can get some diffusers and put in different fruits and such, or you can buy water that's already infused with like lemon, et cetera. And just, well,
you can get those little, flavor bottles like from Dasani or,
they've got those
even
too.
Kool-Aid makes them that you can just squirt into some water. It's no added sugar at all whatsoever. It's just flavoring. That's what I usually do. I drink a ton of water, but I can't stand just regular water unless it's super hot out. Yeah. So I'll drink that.
Core actually squawkling water. I'm German.
Did you just say squawkling water?
Squawkling water, yeah.
Yeah, squawkling water.
Squawkling water.
The best water a bird can ever drink.
That is the main export for Birdania.
That's right, squawking water. So what we do is we get this water, we squawk at it, and then we bottle it on. That's the way we roll. So, Core, ask a question, Krios. As someone who's been climbing that ladder and constantly having to re-grasp control of my weight, I appreciate that advice. What would you recommend for those who want to start going to the gym, and what advice do you have for aspiring gym rats?
Well, as somebody who I constantly have to fight with my brain when it comes to the gym, I actually had to do it last night where for some reason my brain will go to any point it can to come up with a reason not to go to the gym. And it's something that I have had to, you basically have to force yourself to silence that little voice that says, oh, you can just go tomorrow, or, oh, you can't go to the gym because of this reason. But I think you have to have the right kind of motivation, not just, I have to do this. It's, why are you doing this? Why do you need to go to the gym instead of just, you know, going out and taking a walk every day? For me, the gym is it gives me an opportunity. I do not plan my workouts in advance. I have an app called Gymbook that has a bunch of different exercises in it. And what I do is I don't pick anything until I go to the gym, because the hardest part about going to the gym is actually setting foot in the gym. But once you have done that, once you go past the doors, like, you're there. So when I go to the gym, all of the fight is before going to the gym, is trying to get to the gym. It's trying to silence that little voice saying, you don't need to go to the gym. You can just go home and relax. But once I get into that gym, I go, okay, I'm here. I have my gym clothes on. I'm ready to go. I've got my Bird.Life podcast on my iPhone 8 ready to go. What do I feel like doing? And I will pick something. It's like, I feel like just doing cardio tonight. So I'll hammer the treadmill or jump on a bike. Or it's like, I feel like doing a mix of stuff. So like, let's start with 15 minutes of warm up on a cardio and then go upstairs and see what machines are available. Like, that's how I do it. I don't plan in advance. I just, what do I feel like doing? Because I put all of my energy into just getting there. Once I'm there, I'm fine. I can stay there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, if I really wanted to. Like last night, I actually forced myself to go to the gym, and I stayed there for an hour and a half, and then I showered. So by the time I was finished showering, everything, it was about an hour and 45 minutes before I got home.
I also am actually the same way. I go to the gym, and what I do is every other day when I go, it's just It's just, I go on the elliptical, I go on the treadmill, I go on a bicycle, and I just hammer it out. Put on some good music, let my mind wander, and I'm there for a minimum of an hour. However, on the days I'm not doing that, I'll warm up with, say, 15 minutes on an elliptical. And then I will go, and I've got all these different machines, and each machine has different workouts you can do with it. Anytime Fitness also has a cool little app you can go and see all the different workouts you can do on said machines that aren't already listed. And so I just kind of go, okay, you know, I'll try this today, or I'll try that today, and I just kind of wing it. Yeah, but it's a lot of the same way, just getting into the car and driving to the gym, because my gym's 10 minutes away. So getting into the car, driving the 10 minutes to the gym is where the battle is, because once you're parked, once you go into the gym and you set your shit down and you're ready to go, it's, well, it's ready to go.
I mean,
I'm
even
here, might as well do it.
Even just setting hoof into the door, for me, anyways, that's where it is. Like, once you walk past the door, it's like, now, well, there's no point in turning around and leaving. So yeah, like 95% of going to the gym for me is just getting there. That's where I put all my energy.
Since you started going, what are the biggest differences, aside from losing weight, a little bit of weight? Okay. What are the biggest differences you felt with your body?
More energy for sure. I have found it a little easier to wake up in the morning. And well, morning for me is afternoon, because I wake up at noon. But I have noticed like more energy, and I've noticed more desire to do more active things, like not go out and, you know, run a marathon or anything like that. But the other day I had the crazy urge to walk down to the waterfront, which is about a 40-minute walk from here. So I said, screw it. I walked down there and I enjoyed the day and played a little bit of Pokemon Go, and then I came back.
So you walked the 40 minutes there and you walked the 40 minutes back.
Yeah. Because I wanted to.
In addition to whatever walking you did while you were there.
Yeah. Well, I stayed down there for about a half hour. Just walking around the Dartmouth waterfront. See, which gives us a lovely view of Halifax and our lovely harbor.
It is actually quite pretty. It truly is.
Yeah, I took you down to the Halifax waterfront on the other side. We walked the boardwalk.
Yes, and you know, naturally we stopped by and I had a cup of Tim's.
Well, everybody has to have Timmy's.
You've said it's changed since then, but something about Tim Hortons. Even when I'm up anywhere in the U.S. that's close to the Canadian border and we have a Tim's, it just tastes so damn good.
See, for us, it's a little different because Tim Hortons is culture for us. It's not just a coffee shop. It is culture up here. When I used to work in the trades, when I did 5 years of plumbing, it was an everyday thing. Like, it was it was almost a ritual for us. Like, we would meet up at the shop, we would get our orders, and then all of us would go to the nearest Tim's, which was usually only about 5 minutes away, because it's just like Starbucks down in the States. You go to one Tim Hortons and you can see another Tim Hortons down the road.
Yeah.
But it's culture. It's ritual for us. When you think Tim Hortons, the first thing that pops into your head is Canada. But the service and the coffee at Tim Hortons in recent years has declined in quality.
It's sad to hear.
It is, because, well, years ago they switched to a cheaper bean for their coffee. And those of us who live off the stuff, you could tell the difference. And the funny thing is, up here, McDonald's, their McCafe, are those original beans. So when we have a McCafe, we're like, oh my God, it's old school Tim Hortons. And it's delicious. And believe me, like, it pains me to say that Tim Hortons is on the decline, because again, it's culture for us. So, like, especially the service has gotten terrible. Like, it's hard to find a good Tim Hortons now, where it's basically a 50-50 shot if you're going to get burnt coffee or not, or if you're going to be standing there waiting for about 5 minutes for somebody to come take your order.
Yeah, that sounds like a general decline, but people laugh at me. I swear to God, talking about coffee, okay, for a moment. People truly laugh at me when I say that my favorite place to go get coffee, generally, when I'm out and about, is McDonald's. It really is. You just go there, you got the app, put it on you want, boom, 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 it's cheap, it's good. If I want gourmet coffee, I'll find a mom-and-pop coffee shop. I will. Because, yeah. You know, I like supporting local establishments when I want a higher quality, fancy experience. Otherwise, Dunkin' Donuts is really good, too. Starbucks tastes burnt to me unless I'm getting something really sweet and frou-frou. Their regular coffee is just burnt. I don't know. It's an acquired taste.
Well, your regular coffee has about 30 sweeteners in it anyway, so. I mean, what's the difference?
Trust me, there still is a difference. You can sweeten the bejesus out of a turd, and it's still going to taste like a turd.
A sweet turd. See, I would go to McDonald's coffee full time if it weren't for the fact that Tim Hortons is still the most convenient option. Like, there are literally a Tim Hortons every, kilometer in this city. Where I work, there is a Tim Hortons half a click away to the east and half a click away to the west. Actually, there's a third one, because there's one down on Windmill Road. So there's a third one half a click to the south. I have three Tim Hortons shops within walking distance of my work. So it's the most convenient option. There aren't as many McDonald's around here as there are Tim's. And a lot of the McDonald's locations here are annoying to reach. They're not in the greatest locations. Mm-hmm. So when I just want to get a quick coffee that I know I will drink, I'll go to Tim's and I'll get a dark roast two cream.
Does that still taste okay?
The dark roast is better. But again, it's a 50-50 shot if you get it burnt or not. I cannot stand burnt coffee. It tastes terrible to me.
I agree with you. Core says, for real, McDonald's coffee is legit. Their frappes and sugar bombs. Their frappes are sugar bombs, but the actual coffee is solid. Well, that's true. But then again, that's part of the reason I like their frappes, too. Pretty much in general, if it's a sweet drink, I'll probably like it, though there is such a thing as too sweet, even for me. I've reached my limit before.
I don't believe it.
It does exist. But, yes.
I have watched you desecrate your coffee.
I have
recorded and documented this.
But, yes, you've... You've recorded me at BLFC putting in a restrained amount of sugar.
That was not sugar. That was sweetener. So each one of those packages is worth 2.5 real sugar packets. And you put 6 of them in that little cup of coffee.
That's cutting back for me, dear. There was a time. There was a time where I used to put more than that in.
That's not coffee at that point. That's syrup. Syrup. And not the good kind of syrup.
So yeah,
this is going to be a pretty funny episode, considering Core can't transmit, and Fleeks is just a pile of feathers on a pillow right now.
Pretty much. It's just like old times.
So
the half birds of High of the Course is the half birds have legit hijacked the audio. Yep. Yes, that is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, we have. So I said when we were doing the warm-up that there are certain phrases and certain sayings that we say up here. Because for some reason, Core couldn't pick up on my Canuckistan-ism. Mm-hmm. So I have a list here of stuff we specifically say in the Maritimes.
Oh, God.
That some of these things on this list I haven't heard here. a lot of these things are mostly like Cape Breton and not Newfoundland, because that's its own special hell. But okay, so number one, things that we say here is sook.
Sook.
As in sulk. If you're sulking. We say sook. Don't be a sook. Oh, you're such a sook. Oh, yes, contrary to popular belief, we don't actually super apologize for everything. But at the same time, we do. It does come up. We do apologize quite a bit. Okay,
that's bullshit, because when I was there, you apologized no less than 17 times a day for things I didn't even ask for an apology for. It was just like I was asking a general question, and then you were like, yeah, we do it like this. Sorry. It's like, what? What?
See?
Really?
It must just be so ingrained in our culture, I didn't notice. I legit don't notice. Because I don't think I do it that much. I know I do. I know I do some. But for the most part.
Sorry.
The next thing that we say up here, and I think this is still just a maritime thing. We call everybody buddy. Everybody. Everybody's a bud, or hey buddy, how's it going? Hey bud, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
We call everybody buddy. Everybody's a buddy. That's probably where the South Park joke came in from. Don't call me buddy, guy. Don't call me gaff, wind. We say buddy up here all the time.
Well, there is one I am aware of. Right? There is one I learned while I was up there. And that is that... That is that instead of saying goodbye, you say keep your stick on the ice.
That is a red green thing because of the red green show. That's mostly just a pop culture reference.
Yeah, it's still an awesome goodbye though.
I think I said that once when you were here.
You said it, but like six other furs while I was there talking to me when it was time to go all said it to me. And I was like, wow, this is a thing. Okay. This is kind of cool.
Look, we aren't all that fussy up here.
No, you're not all that fussy until you are.
Yeah. Speaking of that, fussy is another one that we say up here.
We say fussy too.
You guys say fussy?
Yeah, we say fussy from time to time. I've heard many people say fussy.
Letterkenny is a perfect representation of rural Canada. It really is.
Oh, Canada.
What else do we say? I'm just going through this list here. We usually do call people stunned up here. Like, are you real? We'll say, are you stunned? Stunned, being kind of dumb sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
We say raid all the time. Like, you were raid drunk last night.
Okay, that makes no sense. I don't get it. I don't get that at all.
If you were really drunk, we'll be like, he was right hammered last night. Holy shit. That's how we use that word. It's been hot and it's been humid. And those are two things that suck. And it's disgusting. And my igloo's melting. Help, I'm going to be homeless.
That's what's interesting about this. because where Krios lives, it gets very, very cold. Yet,
yeah, that's normally in the northern
gets
area.
Extremely hot and humid. So he kind of lives in an area that gets the worst of everything.
Yeah, pretty well.
I think he lives in almost the same temperate as I live, as German, Germany. Because we have the same, like, super cold winters.
Yeah, but you...
Sometimes they are really mild, but
you guys probably get, like, a biting dry cold rather than the cold we get and the heat we get. Because I live right on the ocean, so... It's all humidity, so the heat sticks to you. Like, when I went down to BLFC, we stayed a day in Vegas, Dari and I, and it was 42 degrees Celsius down there. And he was laughing at me. He was like, now make sure you don't melt. Let me know if you need to stop. And it didn't bother me. Why? Because it was 100% dry.
Dry heat is way better than...
The second you walk in somewhere from outside, the heat's gone. It doesn't stay with you. It doesn't stick with you. It's not sweltering. Well, up here, like yesterday, it was 28 degrees, but 100% humidity. So it feels like you're trying to breathe through a tablecloth.
Water. In cooking water.
Yeah. It's gross, and you come in from outside, and the heat just sticks to you. It stays with you. It's bleh. It's gross. It's gross, eh?
Yeah, and that's the thing I hate about humid heat. It's disgusting. Whereas when I go down to even when it's like 80 degrees here in Chicago, okay, you know, 80 degrees, light breeze, typical summer day, not too bad. You get 90 or 100% humidity, even with it being 80, it's like walking into a goddamn sauna.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
That's basically what it is. It's province-wide sauna. Blech. It's disgusting.
So, when it comes to future, Krios.
My future, Krios?
Yes, your future. What are some of your long-term goals over the next 10 years?
Oh, God, I don't think that far ahead. Christ, I don't even think a month ahead. Really, I just want to, as far as working out, I want to be comfortable in my own skin as far as working out and weight goes. Like, I'm 229 right now, and that's still a bit much for me. Like, I want to trim the gut. I want to be able to fit into most of my clothes, because there's still some clothes from years ago that I can't fit into anymore. As far as long-term goals, I don't really have anything set in stone. Like, I honestly would like to be able to travel at least twice a year comfortably and not have to worry about, you know, finances or cash or any of that. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that far ahead. I usually think maybe a month or two in advance. But I'm pretty laid back. I take things as they come.
Hey birds, if you couldn't tell by now, Fleeks and I were having some serious connection issues. I've begun to call such phenomena the Griffin Factor. Whereas if the levels of Griffin energy surpass a certain threshold, technology itself begins to fail. Anyways, we were about ready to call it and try again later when things started slowly working again. So we apologize for the inconsistencies, but we wanted to finish out the episode and enjoy the company of Krios. From here on, we used Storm's backup recording for the episode. Thanks for sticking with us. Enjoy!
We were discussing conventions, and Krios told us he's going to BLFC next year because that's his go-to con and why he likes it.
Nice.
And, it's basically how MFF used to feel. I concur.
It's a big con, but all in one building, which is basically the size of a small city. But because it's in one building, it's very easy to meet and see everyone, and there's restaurants in the building. It's just, it's really nice.
Yeah, just everything is available in one spot. It's a comfortable convention for me.
The only and thing if that by sucks chance about they don't PLC. Have something,
go ahead. If by chance they don't have something that you need, there is a Walmart less than a mile away.
Correct.
Exactly. You just walk there.
And the only thing I don't like about BLFC, and this is it, this is my only complaint, is because the building's design, you can't get good cellular reception inside of it, so Telegram does not work very well.
And oh, God.
If you try using the hotel Wi-Fi to get on Telegram, you're just fucking doomed unless you go to the website for Telegram. Then that uses a different port. But the Telegram app, you forget it. It's just not working.
Yeah, I basically had to go outside to use my cell phone to get any form of reception. Just going inside anywhere around the casino, which is nope. That's a hard nope.
It's a whole lot of fucking nope.
That's a hard no.
But for me, this upcoming year, it's going to be interesting because I've done something I've never done before this year, and that is I've done a bunch of cons, you know, MCFC, BLFC, AC. I've got Indie FurCon, I've got MFF, and I'm doing Fur Reality this year. So I've did more cons than I've ever done before. Next year, I'm not going to do as many cons, but BLFC is definitely probably a go-to for me.
So yeah, it better be.
Yeah, it better be for self-serving reasons.
Yes. I can be selfish. I'm part Griffin.
Yeah. Damn it, Storm, you're coming because I'm going to be there.
I personally try to visit a lot of cons too, especially because when I that's the cool thing about being like artist, I can get the costs back.
Yes, if you and especially make if you an get earning, a table so... in the dealer's den and such. Yes, you can.
And I can how is it called? I can when I do taxes, I can put the conventions in as business travels.
Oh, yeah, you can write it off as business expense.
Yeah, it's a business expense.
It truly
like,
is.
I can either say it's a seminar because they have workshops at cons, or I can say it's where I go to earn more money.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And so I have less taxes then.
I go to cons to just be general trash.
Or PR.
To cons to spend money.
Yeah.
I go to cons to socialize. Really, I may see a couple of panels, but for the most part, it's like meet up with people, snuggle, have a good time, eat tasty noms. That's my
culture. I don't really do the panels myself. It's mostly just for like seeing old friends, meeting new friends. I met a lot of birds this year at BLFC. A lot of birds, like way more birds than I met when I first went in 2017.
The thing is, you never should go to a con only to sell stuff, or you're losing the joy on cons.
Seriously. Yeah, exactly.
Cons should never be pure work. You should have fun in what you're doing, and that's for example when I'm dealing in dealer stands. At most cons, it is really fun. Like not only because you're making money, but because you're interacting with people and you're presenting your merch, and also it's like the thing you get back after you how's it called? After you designed all your merch and build it and stuff, and then you see the reactions, and then you learn, oh, hey, that
you meet your fans.
Goes well. That was a mistake, and so on.
You meet all your fans.
Yeah, all the fans that go to the con, but it's still for me. It's still surreal that people consider themselves fans, because that's kind of the perspective is kind of weird for me, because
it's like I
don't know, I don't know how to explain it, but
well, the first
having
time,
fans is weird.
Yeah, I need to get a badge from you, please.
Realize, yeah, the first time you realize that people find your work very, very attractive and are truly love what you do is surreal for most people, whether they're writers, artists, or hell, I mean, even me with my Sona, just having people run up to me saying, "Oh my God, I love your Griffin. He convinced me to be a Griffin." I'm like, wow. Hey, awesome.
Wow.
I'm happy to do that. Great.
I'm amazing.
That's right.
Reality check. I don't think anybody's ever done that for a Griffin.
I think that's scandalous propaganda. And you can just keep that
alternative facts again.
You can just keep that Bird penthouse in Birdania, okay? Yeah. This is not a place for separation and division and propaganda.
I apologize. I'm sorry. I was out of place. I forgot. This is the episodes the Griffins take over.
That literally, we
pretty
fucking
much
took over completely.
There's I was left by myself.
We left Krios unsupervised for 5 minutes.
And that's
who
dangerous.
Knows what destruction he wrought.
Yeah,
am not gentle with these hooves. Responsible for damages.
It's like leaving a child in the candy aisle for 5 minutes on their own. You have no control over the situation.
No, it just goes off the rails.
What's going to happen happens.
Well, there is a reason there's hay all over the bottom of, you know, the Bird Life studio now, so we got to clean this up afterwards. Fucking crazy.
Yeah,
I don't eat hay!
Together.
I'm still a bird.
Yeah. Tell that to the hay.
My butt doesn't eat the hay.
Your butt.
It's not hay, it's straw, and it's used for something else.
Yeah,
it's
not
used
for eating,
on.
Dear.
It's used to hold my poutine.
Yes, it's used to hold your poutine and keep your hooves from damaging the beautiful Corinthian leather floors we have.
What?
Wait, what?
Who carved
this? We have floors made of leather?
Yes. Where do you think our Patreon money went this week?
Who the fuck made the floor out of leather?
Is that what happened to our entire budget? Is that why our recording studio is a 5x5 cube with a hole in the wall cut out for Storm's face to fit through?
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly why.
So he can stick his beak through and go, "Bidet, bidet, bidet." That's all, folks.
Exactly.
Jesus.
I wanted the best.
Also, the floor is clearly made out of the hide out of all the creatures who have mocked griffins. Why do you think we have so many feather pillows in here now?
Yeah, the padding for our seats are made out of those people. Whereas Coors is made out of sad song CDs.
The whole Bird.life team will be at MFF, I heard.
Yes.
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 I won't be there.
Yes.
We're going to be recording live.
Ooh.
We're not going to have... We may have a panel. Who knows? We probably won't have a panel. We'll just be wandering around with recording equipment. It'll be awesome.
Just strap like an actual booth to Storm as he walks around. That's your panel. It's a mobile panel.
Yeah, MFF hey. Is MFF. I can deal it at MFF because they have the dealer stand is already booked out and they have a lot of strange. I would say they probably have a reason for those rules, but they have a lot of. Strange, in my opinion, strange rules in the artist alley.
What, Anthrocon?
MFF.
There's a reason. There's a reason for those rules.
I guess so. I guess
them.
So.
But yes, you're not the only one to say that either, really.
Yeah.
But hopefully, you can get a at least a temporary spot in the artist alley if you want to.
Maybe. But I'm definitely in the art show again.
Oh, good.
After my success at Anthrocon.
Yeah, you go for it.
I will definitely do that.
So, guys, are we ready to answer a couple listener questions?
I don't see why not.
That's a good time to do that.
Okay. Otherwise, we'll just continue aimlessly rambling.
Sure.
All right. Eclipse Griffin asks, I want Krios to say, Mounties, mount horses, 3 times in a row, without giggling.
See, I'm already giggling. That's not fair.
Do it.
Mounties, mount horses. Mounties, mount horses.
And we've earned our explicit rating.
See, I was already giggling to begin with because I read that question earlier. I'm like, no! No! Because my mind just goes to the wrong places and I giggle about that anyways. Fun fact, we don't actually have Mounties in Nova Scotia.
Can you say this one moose sentence that people always ask Canadians to do?
Moose?
Or moose something? I forgot how it goes.
Moose, I forgot how it goes.
No.
Oh, that wasn't the sentence.
There's some very, very Canadian sentence that people always say when they meet Canadians.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
So, Regday asks, what is one tradition you are most proud of Canada, and what is one tradition you are least proud of?
Ooh. Well...
Can I answer for you?
Go ahead, Cor. I want to hear this.
It's actually one answer for both questions, and it's the fact that Mounties mount horses in Canada.
No, it's the fact Mounties wear really big hats.
Like, no, they wear big pants. They wear big pants. Tradition that I love up in Canada, I would say there's two of them. There's Tim's Runs. Because even though Tim Hortons is declining in quality, it's still culture.
Right.
So doing a Tim's Run is something that I love, either doing it myself or being on the receiving end of a Tim's Run. And kitchen parties. We literally have kitchen parties here. What the kitchen hell is parties.
That? I only know bathroom parties, and they always happen spontaneous on any party where they have a big bathroom because people suddenly start to clog up the bathroom and have discussions.
Bathroom
there.
Parties at cons I've gone to usually involve more than just talking. But going back to Krios.
Not those kind of bathroom parties. And they do not. Not Griffin involving bathroom parties.
A kitchen party is literally a party in the kitchen. Usually somebody with a large kitchen. You all hang out in the kitchen, drinking beer or wine or whatever you drink.
Right.
And you just hang out in the kitchen. I have had some of the greatest conversations at a kitchen party. Just hanging out in a kitchen.
Sounds like a front porch party here in America.
Yeah,
I suppose. Yeah, like same idea. It's the same idea.
So what are some things you, or what's one tradition you don't like very much?
See, I can't really think of any. Tradition that I don't like? I don't know. I kind of like them all.
And there you go. Oh, wait. I've got one you might not like. Quebec.
That's not a tradition. That's a shitty place.
They're just upset.
We don't talk about Quebec here. We don't talk about Quebec. They are... Okay, Quebec to us... is the southern states for you guys. We don't talk about them.
Oh, jeez.
They are... Okay, I have had some decent experiences, because there are times for my job that I have to call dealerships in Quebec. Some of them haven't been too bad, but you will get, I'd say 50% of the time, you will get that arrogant dude who is almost insulted that he has to correspond in English.
Friend. Yep.
Yes. Yes, they are very francophone up there.
Yep.
And
dealt with some shit.
Did the Northeast not try to secede from Canada at one point?
Quebec tried to separate once, and they were shut down. They still considered themselves separate from Quebec, but separate
basically
from
Texas
Canada.
To the rest of America, then.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Okay, so if Canada has its own version of Texas, does Canada have what is to America Canada?
Maybe it's America. Alaska.
Like a super polite North?
No. Not really, because everything in Northern Canada is just frozen. So, like, we don't know what's happening up there.
There's not a lot of action.
It couldn't be more polite if there's nothing going on up there. So, yes.
I suppose the funny thing is Alaska belongs to you guys, but we never hear anything out of Alaska except for Palin, who's weird as hell.
We haven't heard from Palin in years.
It's okay. Nothing of value was lost.
Alaska could have seceded from the Union, and we'd never know.
Yeah, we don't hear anything from Alaska. We just assume everybody's dead.
Oh, jeez. So,
the vampires got them. 30 Days of Night.
Or, the Russians got them because they're right next door.
I don't think they have a lot besides an Air Force base, and that's all pretty much Canada has.
Exports of Palin's mixtape.
Oh, jeez. So, Krios, what is your opinion on the Port Roberts, Washington debacle?
I don't know what that is.
Port Roberts, Washington is this little tiny segment of land just south of British Columbia that the U.S. claims dibs on, but has no connection to. So to get anything to this place, you have to go through Canada and go back to the United States. They even sell gasoline in liters there.
Well, that's how you're supposed to sell gasoline.
Yes. That's how you're supposed to sell everything.
Yeah.
That's liquid.
That's like, 98% of the rest of the world uses the metric system. Fun fact, we actually have both up here.
I thought we only sold Poland in liters.
Surprise, I know.
We have both for certain things, like... a lot of the bolts and hardware that I have both metric and standard.
So you have gone because of the U.S. effect.
Yeah, basically. Because a lot of the trucks are manufactured in the U.S. and come up here.
Mm-hmm.
And are sold up here.
Well,
so they are illegally importing Imperial units.
Mm-hmm. But everything we import from overseas, like we get a lot of trucks from Japan. And everything on those trucks is metric. All of our street signs and everything, all of our gasoline, all of that is in metric units up here.
It's funny that England has the streets in miles and everything else in metric units.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
All of our street signs are kilometers per hour, kilometers... our gas is sold by the liter right now. It's $1.24 a liter, I think.
Well, you said something earlier, Krios. You said you described things in like half a click. How far is a click?
1 kilometer.
Okay, I guess.
So if you say he's a click out, he's a kilometer away.
Oh, is it because the old tachometers and stuff, the measurement device in the car, when a kilometer was passed, it click click
That could be, but I'm going to chalk it up to Halifax and Dartmouth is a very military city. We have strong Navy and strong Air Force and strong Army presence here because we're a port city. So they say click all the time. It's okay. Click this way. It's click that way.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
Now, we have a lot of military here.
Now, I will say that I bring up Point Roberts because it's interesting. Point Roberts has the highest concentration of U.S. Protective Service people of anywhere in the country because it's the safest part of the United States because you got to go through another country to get to it. So odds are if, you know, you need to hide from the mafia and the government gives you a new identity, they're going to put you there. True story.
So the mafia just has to eradicate this place and they have most of their protected, how are they called? Yes. Witnesses.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. But you'd have to go through Canada first, which is
you got to go through us to get to him.
Yep. You literally have to go through Canada and then back through the U.S. border again to get in.
Sorry about the inconvenience.
Yeah. Sorry about the inconvenience, Mafia, but we can't let you in.
Okay. Final question comes from Moriar. The question is, are there owls in Canada?
Owls?
Owls.
I think owls are everywhere.
Yeah, we have owls. We have lots of owls. If you are anywhere near the outside of the town, even where I used to live, which is just on the outskirts of town, you can hear them at night all the time.
Hoo-hoo.
Hoo-hoo, sorry. Hoo-hoo, sorry.
Sorry for the disturbance. Hoo-hoo, sorry for the disturbance.
I hope I'm not being too loud.
Typical Canadian owls, and in the morning you see them drinking Tim's.
Yep, we have owls, we have blue jays, we have robins, we have geese, and we have
very
shithawks.
Angry geese.
Oh, geese are terrible.
They're geese fucking are epic. Actually, they like to attack you.
Mm-hmm. Moment there. So yeah, you guys have a very specific type of goose that is probably the only thing in Canada that is actually so the only mean thing that comes from Canada is the goose, and you guys have like a lot of pride in it, but I feel like you guys also secretly hate it just as much as the rest of the world does when we have to deal with the Canadian geese.
That
is the Canadian military. They don't send humans. They just send flocks and flocks of geese.
That's our Air Force.
That is terrifying.
That's our Air Force right there. No, the Canadian geese does not apologize, does not show any mercy. They are savage. They look beautiful, but they will tear your throat out. They are scary, scary birds.
No, they really are, even down here. Holy crap.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no, they're the same
up
here.
They're protected, so they can't shoot them.
You know what else is... You know what other kind of bird up here that's kind of crazy? Swans.
Mute swans, especially.
There's a pond about 15 to 20-minute walk away from me called Sullivan's Pond, and there's always swans down there. I watched a swan one time murder another swan.
Jesus.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was like a crazy turf war. I was like, what the hell's going on over there?
Just goes to show it's not all peace, love, and harmony up in Canada.
But the real demon bird, a pelican.
There's war among the birds.
We don't have any pelicans up here.
Yeah, pelicans are the real devil birds.
And yeah, those are mostly in California.
We mostly just have seagulls up here. You can hear them everywhere.
Seagulls are like dogs. Seriously, they. I had one stalking me when I was in England once at a beach and stuff. And they were going to me and were like begging from me like a dog, just sitting there and
Oh, yeah, they bake for scraps. They bake for scraps all over the place here.
They're all over.
Yep.
I like seagulls. They're tall, beautiful birds.
They have personality, but they're really dirty. Dirty birds.
Dirty birds.
Dirty birds.
Such a dirty bird.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on a dirty bird shirt right now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So I had a few more terms I wanted to throw out there to see if any of you guys have heard of any of these.
Okay.
Because there's
wrap up with that.
There's a few more. There's a few more from the Maritimes that I know we only say here. So,
okay.
First one is fill your boots.
Feel the boots.
Fill your boots. Fill your boots.
With what? Well, what are you filling your boots with?
When, if somebody says, for example, mind if I finish this coffee? Fill your boots. Which means...
I see where that's coming from. It probably comes from in older times, there weren't any cups in Canada, and then people started to use the boots instead. But I didn't know. They actually didn't know that boots are actually for the feet, and they actually used like cups for the feet, and then at some point they learned. Oh, it's way more practical.
Oh, that's supposed to be backwards. No, it basically means have as much as you want. Fill your boots.
Okay. Actually, in Germany, we have a tradition on the 6th of December, or on the 5th of December even, that in the night, St. Nicholas comes and fills the boots of the children with gifts. And candy.
See, we call those stockings here.
Yes, we do.
Stocking stuffers. The next one is Biff. We say Biff as in to throw something. I biffed it across the room.
We did that in middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how about, like to crash?
It means throw up here. You biffed it.
Okay, so, like, what if you're going down the mountain? Like, what if you're skiing down a mountain or snowboarding down a mountain and you fall? Do you biff it?
No, you're not going to biff yourself. That's just stupid.
Can you biff school? Okay.
Well, here, if you accidentally fall down a mountain while skiing or snowboarding, you biffed it. So we have the same word, just different connotation.
Same word, different meaning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, speaking of falling, that brings me into my final term.
Okay.
Slippy.
Slip.
The Slippy.
Fuck? Condom.
No.
Are those the shoes you slip in?
Be careful outside. The sidewalk is slippy.
Oh. Okay, so pretty much
we say slippy instead of slippery.
Oh.
But that is an actual... I remember hearing that as a kid.
Do you then say, also when you're hungry, do you say, I'm hungry? Oh,
no, that Lord. Means something completely different.
I'm hungry.
Trust me.
I'm thirsty.
Kudos and I, we're hungry. Trust me.
You said it. You're the one who said it. I said that. We also have the typical terms up here, like loony, toony. Double double, 2-4.
Which is an 8?
I get the 6x6.
A 2-4 up here is a 24 case of beer.
Ah.
2-4.
2-4.
Oh, sure. Geez. Why not?
Yeah. And of course, everybody's heard loony and toony.
When someone says double, I pretty much imagine a 4 patty cheeseburger.
No.
Nope.
Double double is the standard Tim Hortons order for a large coffee, 2 cream, 2 sugar.
Ah.
So if you want your coffee to you know, cocky? Like it has a hint of something tasting good.
You're cocky?
You get it. Yes, I'm very cocky. Thank you.
That goes in. That stems from hunger.
If you want your cocky to taste like something, you use a flavored rubber or flavored lube.
Slippy.
On your slippy, yes.
I've been around you all too long. Way too long.
I have heard some of my elders say things like holy mackerel instead of holy shit.
What the hell?
Holy mackerel. Also, in certain parts of Nova Scotia and Cape Breton, we call a couch a Chesterfield.
Yes, that I have heard. It's fucking weird. But yes, I've heard that.
That one is weird, I will admit. That one's definitely weird. I have heard my aunt say bought and bred before. I've bought and bred. Which is literally just bread you buy from the store.
Yeah.
You see, you say bought and bred, you'd think like it's like you bought a breeding dog kind of thing. Like, yeah, she's been bought and bred, like she's a purebred kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Whole wheat bought and bred.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
So, any other final questions or comments, or are you guys ready to wrap up?
I'm ready if you're ready.
Okay.
I was born ready.
All right.
Broadcasting from my igloo up in Nova Scotia.
We're so sorry.
We're so sorry that the American infrastructure cannot handle my Canadianism.
Our internet just couldn't keep up.
The NSA's listening into this.
Yes, all the NSA and CIA bots were listening in and crashed the server.
Yep.
So they had to wing it.
There's that joke again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Because we're birds.
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to cut out before we take any more bad pun turns. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the episode and you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/birdlifepodcast. You can donate as little as a dollar a month, and every dollar helps. Seriously, thank you so much to those who are already donating. I want to announce we're actually going to be starting a new segment on the show where we it's kind of an ad segment, actually. We will either read or we can post a 30-second clip of your choice on air, and you can advertise your wares, or you can do a shout out to a friend, whoever. And this is available to anybody who donates $5 via the Patreon for even just 1 month. Thank you so much for supporting the show, and you can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. That's about all I have. You guys ready to wrap up?
Let's do it.
Yes. I just want to mention that you don't have to use the segment for advertising or something. You can also just use it to tell a joke or to sing a song or to...
Yes, it is your segment. 30 seconds, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
And then use it creatively.
And give our opinion on it.
Yeah, we'll weigh in on it. Don't doubt that for a second.
You can put in whatever you want, but we will be judging.
Or if you want us to say something... We might do it too. It's your segment.
Yeah, we'll read it out for you. Absolutely.
Oh, God. There's going to be a lot more Mounties mounting horses for me in the future, isn't there?
Oh, probably. Yes.
Yay! Thanks, Eclipse.
And remember...
always be beeping.
Always beep, 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 beeping.
Always be beeping.
Keep your stick on the ice.
There you go.
Give me 1 second, bro. 1 second. Be right back.
Oh my God. I am left here alone. I am by myself. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows. I don't know the rest of the song. I'm sorry. See, now I have to be entertaining by myself. This is the Krios Power Hour. Sorry about that.